This is Digital Story Podcast number 917, October 17th, 2023. Today's theme is Nervous Before a Photo Shoot? Me Too. I'm Derek Story. You'd think that after doing something professionally for decades, dealing with nerves would be a distant object in my rearview mirror. The fact of the matter is, I still get anxious before a big photo shoot. But I've learned how to channel nervous energy into creative output. And I'll share those tips with you on today's TDS Photography Podcast. I hope you enjoy the show. The driving force behind every photo shoot is to deliver the best images possible to the client. When I focus on that, everything else seems to fall into place, but that desire for excellence also creates pressure. In that first 10 to 15 minutes of the job can include a bit of anxiety. It sure can, right? Now, I think most of us know this feeling, whether it's before a photo shoot or before a speaking engagement, before any sort of big event where the spotlight is going to be on us. And the spotlight is on us during a photo shoot at the beginning. And then what we'd like to do is move that spotlight to the subject, right? And then we fall behind the camera and make these beautiful images. The trick to a photo shoot, in my opinion, is to not show the nerves, of course, because one of your main jobs is to put the subject, the person that you are photographing, or the persons who you are photographing, put them at ease. And so you have to sort of keep your nervous stuff inside or redirect it. Redirecting is not bad. And then be a calming force for them, an assuring force for them, oozing confidence so they know that this is going to go well. So that seems like a bit of cross-wiring there, doesn't it? But the fact of the matter is, that's the way it has to be. But you can get there. I do get there. And there are some very tangible methods for achieving this. You know, one of the things that I've learned over the years is that a bit of pressure actually helps me focus. Even though I must appear confident and relaxed to help the client feel at ease, inside, that nervous energy makes me laser-beamed, figuring out the best way for us to start the session. Now, hopefully, in the end, both parties are relieved and happy with the results. But it doesn't happen by accident. There are some very repeatable steps that I do time after time to get the good results. Let's take a look at how this flow goes here. All right. First of all, this is so important, and I learned this back in the days of weddings. Conversation first. Before the actual photo shoot, have a phone call or a Zoom call with the client. This is super important because you begin building rapport here, but it's also important because you start to discover their real expectations. I mean, on the surface, you know what the expectations are. They say, I would like a business portrait, for example. So you knew that going into it when you took the job. But then through conversation, you can learn a bit more about what they consider a good portrait to look like. The things about them that they like, the things about them that they don't like. You need to know all of this, to help you prepare for the photo shoot. And at the same time, they begin to feel like they know you a bit better, which helps them relax, helps them have a bit more confidence in you. So this conversation beforehand is vital, I think vital to success. Don't just show up on the day of the photo shoot saying, hi, I'm Derek, you must be Bob. Hi, Bob, I'm going to take your picture. That is not the way that you want to go. You want to show up on the day of the photo shoot and wave at Bob and say, Bob, how you doing? It was really good talking to you the other day. And Bob goes, I'm really looking forward to this, Derek. We had a great conversation and I feel ready to go. That's what you want to have. That's what you want to have. So conversation first. Second point, prepare your gear ahead of time. And I mean like 48 hours before the shoot. So you use the information from the client discussion to determine the gear needed for the job. Begin this process a couple days in advance. Why a couple days? I'll tell you. Because you will initially forget to include something. It's always, I mean, whether you're packing a suitcase or packing your camera bag, you will get most of it, but you will forget something. And then what will happen, if you allow yourself enough time, you'll wake up in the middle of the night after you started packing, and you go, oh man, I need the soft focus lens, or I need this, or I need that, or I need a cord to connect my flash to the camera. Something important. You'll remember that in the middle of the night. Write it down, right? So you don't forget. And then you still have the next day to find that missing item and put it in your camera bag. You have to start ahead of time packing your gear for specific photo shoots. And this is particularly true with events, you know, weddings, anniversaries, things like that. There are always a few specialty items that you need that you may not normally have in your camera bag that you will want to include. Start ahead of time. Then when you wake up in the middle of the night remembering what you forgot, you can write it down and put it in the next day. Point number three, plan for backup scenarios. Now, initially, you're going to build your ideal plan, and hopefully that will work. But just in case, construct a plan B in case the wheels fall off the wagon. Because you know what? That does happen sometimes. And if you have a great backup plan, then your anxiety will decrease. Because you know, you're shooting, you're setting up, you're talking, you're getting ready. And you know that if this all goes off the rails, you still have another plan that you can enact. It's a great confidence builder. It's very calming, and it may actually help you execute the photo shoot. So make sure that you plan for backup scenarios. Point number four, plan to arrive early. This will give you time to scout, contemplate, test shoot, and get comfortable with your environment. Nothing creates tension like arriving late to a photo shoot. Nobody's happy. You're going to be all a flutter, and it's just not going to get off to a good start. And if you were nervous before you got there, you're going to be really nervous when you get there late. Do not arrive late. Make sure you're early. Give yourself time to get acclimated, to think, to be ready, to be confident. Point number four, put the subject at ease. As I mentioned earlier, I know this feels counterintuitive when you're nervous yourself, but you'll discover that your efforts to help the subject feel calm and confident will actually have the same effect on you. There's a generosity thing here happening where you're giving, even though at the moment you might not think you have a whole lot to give, but you're giving to help them feel better. And then the universe will reward you by making you feel better. And then everyone feels better, right? So put the subject to ease. You know, make a concentrated effort to make them feel good, compliment how they look. You know, just chit-chat with them. It will really help. Point number five, don't start with your best option. Everyone is going to need to warm up. Begin to shoot with your second or third favorite option. And I'm talking about location, wardrobe choices, all that stuff. Do not come out of the gate with, hey, this is what I think is going to be our best shot. Here's the best outfit. Let's do that first. Wrong answer. Do not do that first. Do that second. Do that third. Once things get rolling, then you can go into your first choice, and you're going to get a lot better shots. So in your mind, you're kind of figuring out, let's say we're going to do three wardrobe changes and kind of three different poses or settings. Start with the second one, get going, get confidence building, then go to your favorite, and then go for the frosting on the cake with the third one and see how much you can get out of it. But do not start with your best option. Save that for the second. Next, keep it moving. This is where your preparation pays off, right? By keeping the shoot moving at a snappy pace, everyone will feel like it's going well. Hey, it's going well. Look at him. He's moving, right? Ta-da-da-da. Now this. Da-da-da-da. Chick-chick-chick-chick-chick. All right? That makes people feel good. That's like, oh, wow, he's really happy. It's going well. And you are going to feel like it's going well because it is moving, right? And you're not going, wow, let me see. Where is that? Do you know where? Have you ever shot with a Nikon before? You do not want to do that. People get nervous when you have a camera pointing at them and you're looking down at it and you're playing with the settings and they're just standing there. Nobody likes this. So make sure that you practice beforehand, be familiar with how you're going to shoot this gig, and then be ready to keep it going once you're there. Another tip that helps everyone feel better is when you share a few pictures from the back of the LCD. Now, I usually wait till I get a shot that I really like, right? So you're kind of shooting, I'll take a look, shooting, take a look. And then there'll be one where it's like the first really good shot. You go, wow. You're saying to yourself, wow, that looks really good. Share that one. Go over, stop the shoot for a second. Go over, show them the back of the LCD and say, look how well you're doing. You look fantastic. They'll look at it and they'll look at it. And then you can just see them go, that does look pretty good, doesn't it? That really helps them so much. And then once they're more confident, once they're more happy, it makes your job a lot easier too. So show them a good picture on the back of the LCD, watch their confidence grow, and then they will relax even more. And finally, keep those compliments flowing. Praise feels good, especially at the beginning of a photo shoot when everyone's a little bit nervous and you're trying to get everyone kind of feeling good about the situation. And real compliments, compliments that are true. I'm not talking about flattery. I'm talking about when they do something well. When you say, okay, now make sure you get your shoulders back and, angle your head a little to the right, and they do it really well. Go, that looks fantastic. You look really good in that, kind of like, good compliments, solid compliments, honest compliments really help people feel better. Keep them flowing. Don't forget to talk to them during the shoot. Don't go silent. Oh man, photographers who go silent during the shoot, the poor subject standing there going, how am I doing? Am I doing okay? He's so quiet. It must be going not so well. The whole brain thing kicks in. Don't let their brain thing kick in. Keep the compliments flowing. Keep them feeling good. So now by this point, everything should be going well. Everything should be going well. And then, watch, keep an eye on their energy. Once their energy begins to wane, if you have what you need, then cut it off right there. Say, that's fantastic. Or we're going to do 5 more shots and then that's it. We have so much for you to choose from. You're just going to absolutely love it. And then you're going to feel so good. You're going to feel the sigh of relief. You're going to be thinking about all the good shots you saw in the back of the LCD and going, why did I ever worry about this shoot in the first place? Why did you worry? Why? Because you care. That's why you worry. Because you care. You want it to turn out well. And that's what we do. When we care about things, we worry about things. But then if we prepare correctly, and if we execute according to our game plan, and if we make adjustments as needed, then we will come away with a successful photo shoot. And then you won't have to worry about worrying until before the next photo shoot. I hope these helped you out. I use them all the time. And believe me, I have some shoots coming up and I'm already feeling a little nervous. But they're going to go just fine. Adobe Max 2023. Here's what Lightroom users need to know. And you can read this entire article on dpreview.com. I have a link to it in the show notes. I'm going to give you a few highlights right now. At its annual Adobe Max event, Adobe rolled out new versions of its flagship applications, including the Lightroom ecosystem that encompasses Lightroom Classic, Lightroom Desktop, and mobile Lightroom apps. They can now simulate shadow depth of field using existing depth maps or create new ones, edit in greater dynamic range on HDR displays, and add a new point color tool for adjusting specific colors, and more. Lightroom Classic 13.0 and Lightroom 7.1 for macOS and Windows are available starting now to Creative Cloud subscribers via the Creative Cloud app. While the Lightroom 9.0 mobile apps for iOS, iPadOS, and Android are available in their respective app stores. Let's take a look at a few of the key features. And again, this is an article on DP Review, and I have the link in the show notes. I'm just going to give you the highlights right now. First one, Lens Blur. The new Lens Blur tool is characterized as being in early access, but it is available to all subscribers. If the photo already includes device depth information, Lightroom uses that as the depth map. If not, Lightroom analyzes what's in the scene, such as a prominent subject, to determine which areas should be out of focus. Now, we were playing with this at the Sedona workshop, the Lens Blur. And one of the participants, I believe it was Steve, he noticed that there was an update available. So he downloaded it. And then he had this cool shot. It was like a wood post, I believe, or a tree trunk, something where it was cut and you could look at all the texture. And then, you know, there's just this distracting ground background. So Steve pulls up the Lens Blur adjustment panel and just starts playing with this thing. And Lightroom analyzed the scene really well, found the subject, and then allowed him to blur the background according to his tastes. And he had a lot of option in doing that. And it worked really well. This is really nice. And then if you don't like what the application picked for the main subject, there's a little graph at the bottom that kind of shows a graphical representation of the different items in the composition, and you can move it around and choose something else. Very smart, worked very well. Lens Blur alone is worth the Lightroom update. It is truly fantastic. Okay, next thing, HDR output and editing. The new HDR mode reveals the full dynamic range within an HDR captured photo, which includes many RAWs, extending the histogram and the tone curve tool to account for the added values. You can visualize which areas are beyond the SDR and the capabilities of your current computer monitor. So this is kind of cool. I have not played with this yet, but it sounds great, that especially if you have a monitor that maybe has a little limited range, that maybe you can actually see what's in your photo with this HDR output and editing function. Next one, point color. In previous versions of Lightroom apps, it's been possible to manipulate colors by adjusting their hue, saturation, and luminance in the HSL/color tool. However, that was limited to 8 main colors. The new point color tool makes color selection more granular by sampling pixels in an image using the eyedropper. This seems really important to me, and I hadn't realized, as you know, I'm not a regular Lightroom user. I use it for certain things. This isn't one of them, obviously, because I'm surprised that point color wasn't already in there. But apparently it wasn't, but it is now. And then finally, this one I really like. This is the fourth point on this. Lightroom Desktop, which is, you know, Lightroom Creative Cloud. Lightroom Desktop goes local. Until now, the desktop version of Lightroom, not Lightroom Classic, has been tightly tethered to the cloud. By default, every image you import gets synced to Creative Cloud and made available to Lightroom on other devices. Sometimes, though, you may want to open up an image and use Lightroom's tools to edit it without adding it to your cloud library and taking up cloud storage. Now, a new local option in Lightroom lets you browse your storage and edit images locally without any cloud involvement. If you do decide to sync one with the rest of the devices, you can copy it to the cloud where it becomes part of your regular library. Oh my gosh, thank God. I've been waiting for this forever. I actually like Lightroom Desktop, Lightroom Creative Cloud, but this one feature I do not like, which is everything goes to the cloud account because I'm not paying for extra storage. I'm paying for storage somewhere else. I only have the basic storage, which really limits my ability to use that application, or at least it did in the past, because I would have to take a bunch of stuff out before I worked on some new stuff. Now I can use those tools to work on images locally without having to worry about my cloud library or that it's full or that I don't have any more room or whatever it happens to be. I'm really happy about this, which means then I'm going to start using this application a lot more because now it's untethered from that limited cloud account. I'm thrilled about this. I'm really, really happy about this. So those are some of the things with the latest version. It's available right now. You can read more about it if you go to the link in the show notes and read the entire article. If you're a Lightroom user, I think you're really going to like this update. It seems really cool, and especially that lens blur. Oh my gosh, how much fun is that? A couple of comments from Sedona. So as you know, because I've been talking about it a lot, the Sedona Photography Workshop happened. We had a great time. It's over now. I'm back in Santa Rosa. I really liked this trip. I got to spend 10 days in Northern Arizona. First scouting and then the workshop itself. I loved our group. They were fantastic. So much fun to hang out with. Their presentations were beautiful. I mean, it's just great all the way around. We have a fantastic location for our headquarters. They took wonderful care of us. The weather was beautiful, which is, you know, that's one thing you can't plan. You can plan for the time of year, you know, when weather is normally good, but you just never know. So it was a terrific event for me. I had a good time. I could tell everyone else had a good time. But, you know, what's really nice when the workshop's over, they drop a note. And, you know, we have an email group and they share their note not only with me, but the entire group. And I just wanted to read you a couple of those comments that people wrote after the workshop, because I think it really characterized what we did in Sedona. Tim wrote, "Well, that was fun. Thanks to all for helping break me in. This was Tim's first workshop and he did fantastic to the whole photo workshop thing. It was the opposite of intimidating. As a result of Derek's relaxed style and the good humor and openness that each of you brought. I'll take loads of good memories and some okay photos as well from this week. Thanks again, everyone, and safe travels." Don't let Tim fool you. Tim had a great photo shoot. I really enjoyed his images. He undersold them. That's okay. Nothing wrong with that. But they were terrific, and he did a really good job. And we all learned lots from him. And what I really liked about Tim being a first-time attendee to our workshops is that he just embraced the whole experience. He trusted that he was in good hands. He trusted his mates, and he just let it fly. And that's exactly the way to do it. Tim, I hope I get to work with you again in another workshop. And then Michael wrote, and Michael has been to a few of our workshops now. "Thanks again for another great workshop, great people, great scenery, great learning experience, and also great weather. This really works as a destination. You'll be doing it again, but I don't think you can improve on it. I hope the same group reassembles next year someplace. We look forward to advising on those options. Michael is referring to what I do with our Inner Circle members. I'm working on the 2024 workshop schedule right now. Is I work up a list of ideas and then I float it by the Inner Circle and I get their feedback and they help me decide what the final candidates are going to be for the physical workshops and also the online workshops for the next season. And I always include some new workshops for people that like going on these things but have already been to Sedona or Point Reyes or wherever. It will be a mix next year. I'm definitely going back to Sedona again, so we're going to do that, but there's also going to be some new physical workshops, and that's what Michael is referring to. He's looking forward to chiming in on what those might be. Now, if you want to see a little bit more about how a day in a workshop went, I talked about that in the Nimble Photographer newsletter that came out last Thursday, and I included some pictures as well. Also, the workshop season for 2024, I hope to be announcing it before the end of October. I'm working on that now. So stay tuned for the upcoming podcast that will talk about both the online and the physical workshops for 2024. But first, I have one more physical workshop this year, our Wine Country workshop, which I'm working on right now. And then we have an online printing workshop in December, and then we'll start the new season next year. All right, let's take care of a little virtual camera club news. A big thanks to our Inner Circle members. And if you are currently an Inner Circle member, be sure to keep an eye out when it's time to renew, because you want to make sure that you're active when I announce the workshop season, because there will be a code for Inner Circle members to get that discount on both the online and physical workshops. So keep an eye out for that. Make sure that you're active when that workshop season gets announced so you don't miss out. As I mentioned earlier, our Inner Circle members help us decide what activities we're going to do each year. And we're coming up to a big moment for that. So you want to be sure that you're active so that you can chime in and say, yes, I really would like to do this, or no, not so much on that. If you want to become a part of the Inner Circle, if you want to help support this podcast community, this overall photography community, then all you have to do is click on the Patreon tile that's on all the pages of the Digital Story, nose around a bit, and hopefully you will support us in 2023. And a big thanks to our Inner Circle members for their support. I haven't talked about affiliate links for a while. I would just want to mention them, that if you plan on making a big purchase from B&H Photo or from Amazon, if you don't mind coming to the Digital Story first and clicking on the B&H tile or clicking on the Amazon tile that's in the second column, or if you're motivated by me talking about something specifically, there'll be a link in the show notes. And if you use that link, that's an affiliate link. By doing that, you help support this podcast. You help support this community. It doesn't cost you anything more at all, but it does help support the podcast. And it's such a simple thing. It's an easy thing to do. And I just wanted to remind you, if you're planning on making a purchase, any purchase at B&H or any purchase at Amazon, if you would click on those tiles first, that'll take you over to Amazon. That'll take you over to B&H. Then go ahead and navigate to the item that you're looking for. And when you buy it, you will help support this podcast. And a big thanks to you for taking that extra step. And finally, I want to acknowledge our friends at Red River Paper. Before we know it, we're going to be doing that online printing workshop, and they're going to be involved, as they have been with every printing workshop we've done so far. I really appreciate a company that appreciates us. And I'm talking about you and me and everyone else involved. They know that we're not the biggest community in the world. We're not as big as DP Review or something like that. But we are substantial. I mean, people was asking me, you know, about podcast listeners and, you know, how many we have. We have a lot. We have a lot. We have over 50K every month, you know. So that's a lot of listeners tune in. So We're also not small fries either. But Red River Paper recognizes that it's not always the quantity, but it's the quality of the listener. And our listeners are passionate photographers who appreciate all forms of photography and who sometimes appreciate printing as well. And even if you don't appreciate printing right now, maybe up the road you will, and then you'll be very familiar with everything that Red River offers. Not only their great printing paper, their other supplies, their tutorials, they can help you achieve whatever printing goals you want. If you want to learn more about them, just click on the tile that's on all the pages of the digital story. And a big thanks to Red River Paper for supporting this podcast. All right, it's going to do it for me today. I hope you enjoyed the show. I'm working on some great stuff for next week. Until then, get out there, be creative, take some pictures, stay safe. See you next Tuesday. Bye-bye now.